Please turn your Bible to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. And our text is taken from verse 19 to 25. James, chapter 1, verse 19 to 25. Let me read for us all these verses, our text this morning, and follow along with me as I read. James chapter 1 verse 29, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let us pray before we start the preaching. Thank you, Heavenly Father, once again for this Lord's Day and this beautiful day, Lord. Many have chosen to be here in your house. And we pray, God, that you will bless them even for their faithfulness at this time by enriching our soul with your word. And all the more, Lord, this morning we are looking into how we can be better hearer and doer of your word. So we ask that your Holy Spirit would have a free course to work in our life, and that each and every one of us here, young and old, will submit ourselves to you to achieve just that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God has put everything He wants His children to know in this book, the Bible. With such a great gift from God, what is the Christian to do with it? You know, the Bible is so popular, so easily available nowadays. You don't even have to go to a Christian bookshop. You can go to popular bookshop, but of course if you want to get KJV, which I would recommend that you do so, then maybe you have to go to certain bookshops. Not all the bookshops have that. But the point is, the Bible is so easily available today. But what is the Christian to do with the Bible? I know for many Christians, the Bible is just something to put on the paper, preventing it from flying away, you know, a weight. Sometimes the Bible is just something that you put behind your car and you get to touch it once a week. That's about all. But in verse 21 that we just read, James calls the Word of God the engrafted Word. For those of you who are into planting, not flower arrangement, okay, but real planting, the actual thing, you know what engrafting means. And the engrafted word means that the word has to be implanted, has to be inserted to you. All right? And indeed, this is so true about the Word of God, because none of us is born with the Word of God in us. None. None of us is born knowing and living by the Word. And God's truth has to be implanted, has to be inserted into us in order to become alive and grow from there. Therefore, the desire of every Christian ought to be to know and to live by the Word of God. Last Sunday I talked about daily personal Bible study, Bible reading. I talked about memorizing scripture passages. I talked about hearing the teaching and preaching of God's word, studying the Bible for yourself. All this I talked about last Sunday, and all these are important. All these are just a few ways to hear and thereby know God's word. But we must not be satisfied with just hearing, as James said, hearing the word of God. We ought to be concerned with the doing as well. And doing is not just simply coming to church, the one thing that you do. No, there are so many other things that we ought to do. In this, in our text today, the author prepares the believers to become both hearers and doers of the word of God. James said in verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." So, we all have the word of God in our hands. How prepared are you to be, to hear and to do the word of God? That is my question to you this morning. All believers ought to be prepared to hear and to do the word. Let us look first of all at being prepared to hear the word of God. In verse 19 we read that we are to be swift. That means to be prompt, to be quick to hear. Just as a servant is to be quick to hear his master's voice. Imagine you have a staff whom always ignore your call. You know, always can't hear you. How would you feel? What kind of staff that would be? But just as a servant is to be quick to hear the master's voice, and a child to hear his parents' instruction, Christians should be swift, should be quick to hear our master, our father's voice in his word. Hearing is the beginning to receiving what God has for us. The greatest mistake that a Christian can make is to go through his or her Christian life thinking that he can do what he wants to do, what he likes to do, and totally ignoring and rejecting the word. Yet, hearing the word is not simply like what you're doing right now, sitting under the teaching and preaching of the Bible. Most Christians have no problem doing that. Most Christians. To make sure we hear exactly what God was saying to us in his word, we must not only, as the Lord said in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, take heed what ye hear, we must also take heed how ye hear. We must be careful that we are listening to the word of God, and we must watch how we listen to it as well. Not all Christians who are constantly sitting under the teaching and preaching of God's word will grow spiritually. Why? Is it a problem of the preacher? Maybe. But is it a problem of the listener? Probably. James offers four hearing aids. Four hearing aids for each and every one of us here. Alright, first hearing aid is that we be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. We are to be slow to dull to hear, to speak. Not dull of hearing, sorry. But dull, slow to speak. It has often been said that we have two ears and one mouth, which ought to remind us to listen more than we speak. Right? Too often we do otherwise, be it at home or at work. So, many times we do the same with the word of God as well. How do we do that? We argue with the word of God. Rather than listening, we argue with the word of God. We become stubborn in our own opinions when God shows us otherwise. We tell God, but God, you doesn't know. You don't know. God, this is 20... What century is this? This is the modern world, God. You know, we argue with him. We are only interested when God's word is in agreement with what we think. Then we listen. But when it's not, we reject, we oppose. Let it not be so. Let us be quick to hear the word of God by being slow to speak. back to God. To be slow to speak means that we are willing to listen. First of all, we have to be willing to listen. We must be slow to share our own opinions and ideas. Keep your butt to yourself. I know of an Italian friend, Giovanni Ciapparelli, his name, and I remember visiting him in Milan, Italy, when I was still in the Air Force at the time, and he was our vendor, and I remember my boss, who was with me at the time, would comment about the work that they have done, and he would always try to be diplomatic, and he would say good things, but he would always have a but. And then the bad things will come out. The bad things about the project, not the vulgarity, I mean. He would always do that, the good and the bad. So Giovanni, I remember he said this. He said, my boss, Mr. Lim, no but. No but. If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. No but. So, same for us. No but. God's word is always good. There should be no but. Alright? To be slow to speak means that we would consider giving up, even giving up what we think without insisting upon it. That is what it means to be slow to speak. Slow to speak against the Word of God. Next, hearing aid, we can be slow to anger. Slow to anger. James said that we are to be slow to wrath. Wrath means an outburst of the mind with a purpose to take revenge. A purpose to take revenge. A purpose to show that you are better. A purpose to oppose. And James here is giving a warning. He said, do not be angry with God's word. Do not get angry with God's word. It is seriously wrong for a Christian to say, I don't care what the Bible says. I just want to do what I want to do. I just want to do what I like. Because, why? Because we are to desire the sincere milk of the word. We are to desire, we are to love it. We are not to be angry with the word of God. And I know sometimes we do become a bit angry, agitated with the word of God. But remember, Hebrews 12:6 tells us, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Which one of you, when you were young, that you were scolded by your parents, you're so happy, you put up a smile, thank you, Dad? No. It's just natural that we would not like it. Right? That's what this verse says too. That it would not be nice at a time. But because God loves us, He chastened us. We got to remember that. So our response is to not react in anger against God, because God, we cannot be angry with God because God did not phrase His word in a nice way. And you know the Bible version keep changing and changing to be nicer and nicer. But the one that we stick to, I know sometimes it doesn't sound nice. But that's not God's business. That is what God wants us to know. And we're not to be angry with God because God isn't so tactful. No, He doesn't have to. So, our job, our response ought to be not to be angry with God. And James gave the reason why in verse 20. He says, for the wrath of man, note, worketh, that means accomplish, work out not the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God here refers to the conformity to God's righteousness. In another verse, let me try to explain the righteousness of God here by bringing you to another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where Paul says that we are saved that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. You see, we are saved according to Romans 8, verse 29, which I taught from last Wednesday, to be conformed to the image of the Son. That is God's purpose for us. God's ultimate purpose for us is that we become more like Christ. And that In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read that we are saved in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Right? But when we become angry with God, James says in verse 20, that cannot be achieved. That cannot be achieved. Why? Because an angry Christian cannot hear the word of God. An angry Christian will be always opposing the word and the work of God. God can no longer achieve what He wants in you if you are constantly being angry with Him. Anger will disturb and disrupt and distract Him. In order for God to accomplish, to work in us, the changing to the image of Christ, may we lend our ears to the powerful word of God. May we be slow to counter the discerning word of God with our finite thoughts and feelings. May we be not provoked by the piercing word of God. Let us remember that. Be slow to anger. The third hearing aid is that we be repentant. We be repentant. Here in verse 21, James say, wherefore, lay apart, that means put away, cast off all filthiness, all moral dirtiness that is in you, and the superfluity of naughtiness. I will go to that and explain what is this superfluity of naughtiness. When as a child, I'm not sure, many of you are younger than me, of a younger generation, of a different nationality even. When as a child, were you ever told by your parents or your older auntie or uncle, when they call you and you couldn't hear them, to go and dig your ear? No? No? It's not a thing in the Philippines? Well, in Singapore, at least in my generation, in Jew's generation, because she laughed out. So when your parents call you and you couldn't hear, either you ignore or you just couldn't hear, and my mom will say, go dig your ear. Go dig your ear. And that's quite true, because I read that a Bible commentator actually says that James could be describing that very thing. That a person with wax, with dirt, with filth, that this filthiness that he is talking about in his ears, and therefore cannot hear the words spoken to him clearly. And James is saying that a person must remove the dirt out of his ears before he could hear properly. And likewise, in order for us to hear God's word, we have to clear, we have to put away, we have to cast off the dirtiness that is in us. We have to do that. All the abominations and the iniquities that is in us. And the phrase, I told you I'll come back to, superfluity of naughtiness. It sounds no big deal, right? Naughtiness, but superfluity means an exceeding measure, overflowing of wickedness, of naughtiness, not just a childhood naughtiness, but this is wickedness that is above the ordinary, such that it has become a habit to do evil. Alright? And I'm not talking about murder or fornication or whatever, no. Any dirtiness, any immorality that has become a part of your life, that you do it day in, day out. It's so habitual already. Maybe you don't even think about it. But James is saying that very thing is hindering your hearing. That very thing is blocking your God from talking to you. And it would be foolish for Christians to think that he can receive the pure word of God into corrupted hearts. No. It just cannot work that way. We have to first of all clean up the filthiness of our heart, otherwise it will distort our hearing and the acceptance of God's word and will. But does James means that we have to clean up everything? We have to have a perfect heart before we can hear God's word? No, that is not to be the case. No Christian on earth can achieve the perfection of God at this end of the world, or of the kingdom. Rather, what James is calling for amongst his audience, amongst us inclusive, is that we have a clean and repentant heart. The key word here is repentant. A repentant heart. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, we read that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I know there are some Christians in some strange part of the world who will say that they have not sinned for the past 35 years. It might sound absurd to you, but it's true. I've read about that before, because they have a very different perspective of sin. But God's definition of sin is very clear. It is anything that is against Him. It is even anything that we do. Right? It is because our righteousness is as filthy rags. So, very clearly, if we say that we have no sin, then we are deceiving ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. And sins needs to be confessed and to be cast off before we can expect to hear the word of God. If we prefer to keep the filthiness, if we prefer to continue to have the habit of filthiness, or even enjoy it, then we will be deaf to the word of God. As children of God, we need unbroken fellowship with God and His word. And remember, the cleaner and the purer we are from all filthiness and naughtiness, the louder and clearer will be God's word to us. The last hearing aid, the fourth one, is that we be humble. James continues in verse 21 that we are to receive God's word with meekness. And you know what that word means, humility. Humility. Humility can be seen as the opposite of wrath. Because wrath is the thing in us that opposes God's word. Humility is the other thing that is in us that willingly, that wants to accept God's word. And James is asking that we sit in front of God as a child before the Father and be humble, gentle, quiet, listening, and be attentive to God's word. That is what James is saying. Meekness is that attitude of spirit directed toward God in which we accept God's dealing with us as good and do not dispute or resist. Did I put that down in your notes? I thought I wanted to put it on a slide. I think I must have forgotten. Yes, let me read that to you again. Meekness is that attitude of spirit directed toward God in which we accept God's dealing with us as good and do not dispute or resist. That is meekness. To receive with meekness the word of God is to be willing to accept our faults as pointed out by God's word. Not to argue with it, not to give excuses, but to say, yes, I have done wrong. Meekness with the word of God is to be thankful even to God, desiring also to be molded and to be formed by the teaching of God's word. It is like your boss or your parents coming to you and say that and point out to you your fault. How do you feel? Are you humble enough to say, yes, I have done wrong, teach me? Or you try to argue, you try to make a stand for yourself. Meekness with the word of God is to submit to the word of God rather than to argue with it. To honor it as the authority of God. That is what meekness is. So, let's watch out for these four hearing aids that we can apply on our hearing. But again, remember, hearing is but the start of receiving what God has to teach us through His Word. Hearing is in order to doing the word. Hearing is just the first step. Hearing is so that we may do the word of God. And the most attentive and frequent hearer will not make us grow spiritually. No, hearing is just not enough. We must do and live by the word of God as well. And that is why James say in the next verse, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word. So, now let's quickly go on to the next point, to be prepared to do. Prepare to do. Be ye doers of the word. Most of you are involved in some technical skills, one way or another, drafting, drawing, or some mechanical skill. And I would dare say, because being a mechanical engineer, most technical skills are best learned through actually doing it. You can read all the technical manual, you can read everything about it, how to do it, but if you don't do it, you just won't know how to do it. You may be able to talk about it, brag about it, right? Just that I read my wife's recipe book, and they are worse. They are more difficult to understand than my technical manual. And I can't cook. Okay? I can't cook. So reading and not understanding worse, and not doing doesn't help me at all. Doesn't help me at all. And for us Christians, it is the same. We cannot just read the Word of God and not do it. It won't help us much. It just helps us to be more knowledgeable, to be puffed up. But Christians need to be actively involved in the process of learning the Word of God. And by actively being involved, it means to do it. To do it. Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7 verse 24 that therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. And you know who is a wise man like? We sang that song. The wise man is the one who buildeth his house on a rock, on solid ground, on Jesus Christ. The wise man is the one who hears and does it. And James couldn't agree more, and he is very straightforward here in verse 22. He is saying, if you think that you can hear and learn the word of God, and then go and live like the word has no effect in you, then you are deceiving yourself. All you have is just head knowledge. You hear the preaching, you read the Bible, but when you close your Bible, when you leave the church, you live a different life. A very different life. And here, James is saying, if you just hear and not do, and you think that you can grow spiritually, you think you can please God, then sorry, you are deceiving your own selves. And why is this so? James explains in verses 23 and 24, he says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his face, his natural face, in front of a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, let me ask you a very, very simple question, and I already know the answer. Do you have the habit of marking your Bible with highlighters? Most of you probably do. I do. Of course, you can't mark on your handphone nowadays. But most of you highlight your Bible. But you know, what's important is not how colorful your Bible is. What's more important is, has the Bible left a mark on you? Has the Bible left blue and yellow, not blue-black, but blue and yellow and red, all the highlighters on you? I mean, are there things in your life that you are doing right now, that you are leaving out, as a result of the Bible affecting you? Are there decisions that you have made? Are there changes in your life? Are there commitments that you have made? Decisions. Because you have read something, you have read God's commandment, God's instruction, and it has affected you to do that. If there are, then that's what I mean. The Bible has marked your life. The Bible has marked your life. The Bible has caused you to do what the Bible is telling you to do. And you are a doer of God's word. And that is what James wants us to do. To be a doer of God's word. And how are we to be a doer of God's word? Let me give you two suggestions. First of all, to be mindful. To be mindful, to get rid of the wrong and to do the right. To be mindful. The glass in verse 23 refers to a mirror. A mirror. We see, what do we do with a mirror? Don't tell me you have never used a mirror. I've seen people using the handphone on the bus. I've seen ladies make up in the bus, amazing skills. I've seen people standing next to the road looking at a huge convex mirror. You know, imagine someone standing in the middle of the street. What do you use with a mirror? A mirror is to, you look at the reflection of your face in a mirror. And we use it to make ourselves as clean and neat as we desire, right? So, the mirror does not just reflect the blemishes on your face. It works also as a guide to make you look better. Right? It doesn't just point out your flaw. It also makes you look better. Right? It's dual usage. So the Bible, as James is talking here, is like a mirror. Because, first of all, it reflects the mind of God to you. It reflects the mind of God to you. And through the mirror, we see our true condition. Who we really are. For example, a person might think that he is the most righteous man that has ever lived. But when he comes to the Bible and God reveals his truth, that there is none righteous, no, not one, he sees God's truth in that. And through the Bible, he sees that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He sees his true self. So that is what the Bible does. It's a mirror. And moreover, the Word of God, as we know from the Bible, is not just a school teacher that makes us realize what we have done wrong in our life. It is also a master to lead and guide us to do what is right. It is dual way. And in verse 24, James refers to the one who examines his face carefully, beholdeth. Examines his face carefully in front of a mirror. Not just a casual glance. It is the person who really spend 5 minutes in front of the mirror. You know, are you ready to go? No. No, still looking at the mirror. That kind of person. And in referring to Christians, James is talking about the person who knows the truth. He knows the Bible. He is not an apprentice of the Bible. He knows. He is well versed with the Bible. He actually is aware of what God's word is telling him to do. Take note of that. He is actually a student of the Bible. He knows what God's word is telling him to do. But as James reveals next, what does he do? He walk away and he forget about what God has told him. He makes the mistake that many of us make, which is to ignore the Word of God. Ignore the Word of God. Rather than being mindful of the sin and unrighteousness in his life as reflected by the Word of God and repent of those things, he goeth his way and ignores the problem. Like what we always say, he sweeps it under the carpet. Forgets about it. He doesn't take any action. And as soon as he walks away, everything is gone. He forgot about it. He is distracted by the world, by the affairs of his life, and he soon forgets what the Word of God has told him. All is forgotten. All sinfulness, misery, danger, all his convictions are lost. As such, he fails to profit personally from the Word of God. This kind of hearer is not a mindful hearer. This kind of hearer just listen, becomes aware, and forget. He doesn't even go and do it. Rather, Christians ought to make good use of God's mirror, the mirror of God's Word. James says in verse 25 that whoso looketh, study carefully into the perfect law of liberty. This is the kind of person that does two things with the Word of God. First of all, he is honest. He uses the Word of God honestly. I've not been able to verify this, although I heard about this long ago, and I think that it is quite true, that maybe some of you can tell me, that there are mirrors made to flatter people. I was told that in the slimming center, so many have gone to a slimming center before. The mirrors are not very accurate. They make you look a bit slimmer. And the mirrors in the gym are not very accurate either. They make you look a bit wider. Why? So that you become happy with yourself. Oh, I have improved. Either narrower or wider. Either you have become slimmer or bigger. Those are not the mirror that we're talking about here. Because God's Word is not flattery, not misleading. When we use the Word of God, we must use it honestly. We must examine our heart and life honestly in the light of God's Word. If you would rather flatter yourselves, read the Word of God and say, hey, I can't find any fault. You read the Word of God and say, hey, it's talking about him, not me. If you would rather do that with the Word of God, then the problem is not with the Word, the problem is with you. Because you just want to flatter yourself. You just would prefer a flattering mirror. And God's Word is not that, but you just want to flatter yourself. Let us make proper use of God's mirror by carefully attending to ourselves, our true condition, our true state, and get rid of that which is wrong while holding on to that which is right. So let us be honest with the Word of God. Next, we are to use the Word of God urgently. Urgently. What do I mean by that? I know some of you have this thing that you do in front of a mirror. You know, you look in front of the mirror and you notice something silvery dangling out, and you say, I must pluck that out. No, for sure, I must do it right now. I'm glad I don't have that problem. Right? So, but that is what I mean here. When you look in the Bible, you see a problem, you ought to do the same thing to yourself. I must settle that. I must get rid of that gray hair right away. I must settle it. I must do what God has told me to do right away. If you don't, James is saying, the moment you walk out of the church, the moment you close your Bible, what you have learned in your morning devotion is all forgotten in the afternoon. What you have listened here in the worship service is all but a dim memory tomorrow afternoon when you're in your office, when you're in your busyness. So the word that you hear right now, you got to put make up your mind to do it right away, urgently. How often in the day do you check your face in the mirror? You don't have to tell me that, right? But the process of doing it with the Word is a continuous one. We have to keep going to the Word. Use it as a mirror to reflect God's holiness to us, to reflect our own flaw to ourselves. And therefore we need to look into the divine mirror of God often and have the Word to check on us and to correct us. And we are to do that persistently. James said, and the person who looks into the mirror and continueth, that means remain, persevere therein, that kind of person James is talking about, who continues in the Word of God. And his clear advice is that we remain, we persevere in living by the Word. We keep doing it. We might fail at times. We might stumble over. We might trip. But get up and continue. Keep living by the Word. As true believers in Jesus Christ, we ought to be persistent. Persistent in staying on the path of righteousness. To continue in the Word is to study and meditate upon it, such that, as I pointed out in the beginning of our text, it becomes engrafted in you. It becomes a part of you, such that it changes you, such that it leaves a mark on you. We are to keep doing that. We are to be not forgetful, but set the Word always before our eyes. That is what we are supposed to do. If you have a Bible, now there's no reason that we don't carry a Bible with us, right? Because it's in your handphone. So all the more, we ought to have the Word of God in front of us always. And not just to be in front of us, we are to walk according to it. We are to walk according to it and persistently, continuously. The late Dr. Bob Jones Sr., founder of the Bob Jones, now known as University, says that we are to do right till the stars fall. What does that mean? There's no limit. We have to keep doing right until the end. And we must always obey what God's Word teaches us. And to obey is to keep doing what the Word says. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, this verse gives us an example of the early Christians, how they handle the Word of God. The Bible tells us that they continue steadfastly, persistently, in the apostles' doctrine. And what do you think that means, continue steadfastly? You mean just sitting under the teaching of God's Word? No, I believe they did it. They did. When God's Word say that they're supposed to be baptized, they were baptized, as verse 47 tells us. When God's Word tells us that they are supposed to join a church, add them into a church, that's what they did, right? In the subsequent verses that we read in this chapter. So, we might fail to obey God's Word at times, but even so, let us not turn away totally. Remember that. Let us not turn away totally, get up, and continue to be a doer of God's Word. Finally, I was thinking last Sunday what message to preach today. I was thinking that this is just a week before Chinese New Year, and I was scratching my mind for a Chinese New Year message. Couldn't find any, but this is the one. In verse 25, James say, the person who is a hearer and a doer of God's Word, this man shall be blessed, fully satisfied. He shall be, this is your Chinese New Year message, prosperous in his deed. In his deed, notice, in his deed, because he did it. Because he's a doer of God's Word, that's why he is fully satisfied. He is prosperous. And the promise here is that we will be fully satisfied with the new life in Christ. That means we will desire this new life in Christ. We love it. We just love that God has saved us. We just love that we are now in living this new life. We are new men because Christ is in us. We are fully satisfied. We have a complete and victorious life. And we be prosperous. Not that we have big ang paos, but we are prosperous in whatever we do under the guidance of God's Word. That means whatever we do as we ought to, according to God's Word, we prosper. We prosper because we are obedient and God prospers us. Is this not what you want as a child of God? I hope so. I hope so and I think so. To summarize, to conclude, what is the Bible? The Bible is not just a bedtime story. No, it's not even a bedtime story. Sorry, book. The Bible is not a history book for you to learn about God, for you to learn about ancient times. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God which has the power to save. It is the lamp that sheds light on your path. Through God's Word, you hear God's voice. Through God's Word, we know the way that we should take. Therefore, let us be a ready hearer and active doer of the Word. Let us begin with hearing and understanding His Word. And don't stop there. Go beyond to doing and living the Word. Let us do that. That is what James wants us to do, and that is exactly what God wants us to do. Please stand with me at this time as we...